God is greater. It's greater than the fallen angel. Not long ago, I walked out of my house. I was going to San Diego to do this a seminar, and 6:30 in the morning, I walked out of the house, and there he stood out in my yard. And he said, Peepaw, I need to talk to you. 6:30 in the morning. He was already up waiting on me. He said, do you know that I'm the problem around this house? This only took 4 years. I said, David, you are not a problem. I love you. He says, I don't like what I'm doing. I said, don't you dare change. I love you just like you are. And folks, I'd gotten used to him. I mean, it was okay. You know, you get used to somebody that does something. If you live with them long enough and you're patient long, you just get used to it. It didn't bother me no more. And I said, David, you've taught me more about God than anybody I know. You've taught me about myself. I didn't know I had this much patience. I didn't know that I could long suffer. I didn't know that. I didn't know that I could endure that long. I mean, I used to be a firecracker. You know, had a fuse about like that. Boom, pow. But boy, it stretched out 4 years. God, Mr. Patience, whoa. I'm feeling pretty good. I said, don't you change. He said, but I don't want to be like this no more. I'd like to give my life to Jesus. I said, all shucks. Now listen, I've got to get used to him all over again. He's changing his whole lifestyle, and he's coming on a whole new lifestyle. Folks, and I'm going to tell you, it's as hard to get used to somebody filled up with the Holy Ghost as it is a thief. It's just as hard. Y'all know that, don't you? Remember when you got blasted with the Holy Ghost? I mean, everybody there thought, my God, they're crazy. You got to get used to it. So I had to get used to him all over again. And you know now he has a job. They're doing. You think they'll move out of the house? No way. In fact, more are moving in. They are. I got 11 people in my house. Had 12 last night, didn't we? You spend the night with us last night? Loved it too, didn't you? Kids love our house because there's never no fight. Little babies, they don't fight. I got 4 little granddaughters. They never fight. If they fight, you never hear it. It's a silent fight. If they do any fighting at all, it's totally silent. I'm serious. There's a peace in my house. There's a joy in my house. I got up the other morning. The little David now, in all this process, has got us a little 2-year-old granddaughter. Name is Haley. Now, Haley is the cousin to Miranda, who is Regina's daughter. Now, Regina's living in one room, and Megan is living in another room, and David and Amy are living in another room. Me and my wife are living in another room. And there's the author's living in the living room, and my son Craig is living in the dining room. All the rooms are full. And I got up the other morning, and I heard something kind of bang into the wall, like, you know. And I raised up in the bed and looked, and here, little Miranda was pulling Haley in the wagon. 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, those are moments, folks, that your heart just adds. I mean, folks, God gives you moments that all of the suffering that you go through, all that you've endured, He gives you moments that just absolutely explode your heart. Little moments. If He gave it to you all the time, we couldn't handle it. Just moments. Pulling that kid in that little wagon, 6 o'clock in the morning, just blew me away. Madison, the cousin to Miranda, they were sitting the other day coloring at the table. And little Miranda is an excellent color. She's 6 years old, and she knows how to color. I mean, she's a brilliant 6-year-old color. And little Madison, she just goes, you know, and she's like me, you know. And they were sitting at the table. We got one little table in the kitchen, and they were sitting at this table coloring, and Miranda was a little upset at Madison because she was coloring the dog wrong. The dog was being colored blue, and she was coloring. And Miranda said, "Madison, the dog is not supposed to be blue. The dog is supposed to be brown." And little Madison quipped back and said, "But I want a blue dog." And Miranda insisted that you don't have blue dogs or brown dogs. And Madison said, "But I like a blue dog." And by this time, they've got my attention. I stopped to see what's going to happen. See, when you love children, you give them the freedom to express themselves. And I'm going to promise you, if you don't think they don't know how to handle situations by themselves, folks, it's incredible. It is incredible. Little Madison, now listen to this. Little Madison looked over at Miranda and said, "Miranda, why don't we quit fussing about the blue dog and just praise the Lord?" I said, "God, I would have never handled it like that." And little Miranda said, "Yeah, praise God, hallelujah, for your blue dog." You know, I mean, just... These little kids are something else. When they're loved and there is no fear, somebody knocks on our door, you know what the kids holler out?
"Don't get the door."
What do y'all holler?
"Don't get the door."
When the doorbell rings, because our door's never locked. So when the doorbell rings, right away they know that there's a stranger at the house. He's afraid to come in. And they all, "Stranger at the door," and they all rush to see who it is. They do. Who's the stranger? I came up to the door one day, and Joshua had a total stranger by the hand, leading him to the kitchen. And he said, "Peepaw, we got a stranger at the door, and I think he's hungry. I'm going to give him something to eat." 3 years old. That's what he sees his Meemaw doing and his Peepaw doing. We're always feeding people, giving to people, helping people. See, folks, that's the way you train a child, is living his life. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and the giver of life. It loves its enemy. It does good to those that hate them. It blesses those that curse them. It prays for those that mistreat them. It doesn't confront them. It doesn't cause anger or resentment. It loves. It forgives. Y'all understand that? And I want to tell you, folks, the world hates this. You have to persist, because you'll get nobody. Nobody will say, you know, "You're doing it right." They'll say, "What in the hell are you doing? You know you're aiding and abetting that guy to steal. You know you're an enabler. You know you're hurting that guy. Do you know you're not doing him any good at all? You ought to beat the hell out of him. You ought to put him in jail. You're not helping him at all." It's like love don't work. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the greatest enabler that ever lived was Jesus. He'll help you do whatever you want to do. Now, if you don't believe it, just start doing what you want to do, and He'll help you. He said He'll give you a lie if you desire it and let you think it's the truth. That's how he will enable you. He sure will, brother. He'll let you believe. Let me listen to this. Love believes a lie. Believes a lie. How about that, folks? Charity believes all things, not against anything. Faith produces love. It doesn't produce morality. It produces forgiveness. I can tell you that in my understanding of Scripture, Jesus did not teach morality. He taught forgiveness. We're all immoral. He didn't come and tell us that we were immoral. He came and loved us and forgave us for our immorality, immoral acts. And every one of us are still immoral, every one of us, even in our thoughts. He said, if you thought of adultery, you're guilty. I can tell every one of you here that you're immoral in some way or another. He did not condemn us in our immorality. He forgave us. Now, can we forgive one another? My son-in-law was immoral towards me by the standards of the world. He did not care for me one bit, because a thief has no concern for anyone but himself. But God loves him. God loves him. Love believes a lie. I've been lied to. Folks, I'm lied to every day. You know, I believe it. It's okay. Doesn't bother me a bit. Doesn't bother me a bit. Every day people promise me things. Every day people say, God really touched my heart. I'm going to give you. I said, okay. Never happened. But it's okay. You understand? I'm not offended by it. I'm not upset by it. You understand? Listen to this. Love never takes offense. Don't believe that? Love is never offended. What was the last thing that upset you? Well, see, then you're not operating in love. I want to tell you, nothing should upset you. Now, what I'm talking to you about right now is a big bone, folks, that's loaded with meat, and it usually chokes a lot of people to death. I'm not throwing you out Blue John or watered-down milk. This is meat. And I'm convinced that the church is ready for some meat. We've been fiddling around and dicking around with this thing. It's time that we got on with what the Holy Spirit intends for us to get on with. The mind and the heart of God. Now in that, you're going to suffer. Our problem is we spend most of our life trying to pray away the suffering. Oh, God, change David. You know I never prayed that. I said, God, change me to love him the way he is. Change me. I'm going to get into prayer later this week. And folks, I hope that you're not scandalized by it. Because most of our praying doesn't get any farther than the very top of our head, right up here. That's about as far as it gets. And we keep praying and praying and praying, and you probably have already learned that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Praying and nothing ever happens. It's insane. And we don't even, you know, we think we're pretty smart. I'm discovering daily, oh God, deliver me from my insanity. The more I learn about God, the more insane I realize I am. You all know that, don't you? And what is happening is that life becomes very, very simple. It is not complex at all. The simpler I can allow it to become, and the way that it can become simpler is that nothing upsets you. Nothing. How would you like to be to that point where nothing gets you? Huh? Nothing will get you. then you'll have to practice this over and over and over and over and over and over, daily, over and over. And I promise you, you will come to a point when a little kid will run through the house or say, "Peepa, I don't want to watch this channel anymore. Click up." And it won't bother you. Instead of running back and rapping them, knocking them straight across the room. You understand what I'm saying? Little Madison spilled a glass of milk the other day on the table. What'd she say, Megan? She said, "Mima, just spill some milk, but it's okay. It's what they make rags for." 3 years old. That's when they're not afraid of you. Little Joshua sitting in the back seat, my grandson. "Peepa, play the children's tape." We have these little tapes that we play. We drive them around in the car, these little kid praise. And they're really beautiful little songs. And I just come off of a three-week tour. And I said, I just couldn't handle it anymore. I said, "I don't want to hear nothing about God today. I just want to let this body, this flesh, needs a break." I said, "Joshua, I don't think I can listen to that right now." He's 3 years old. And there was a pause, and he said, "Peepa, don't you expect me to mind you?" 3-year-old kid. And I've never told him he had to mind me. He said, "Don't you expect me to mind you?" I said, "Joshua, I do." He said, "I expect you to mind me too. Play the tape." You ever had a kid be able to say that to you at three? You know what I did? I played the tape. It's amazing that how we love for our kids to mind, but we don't like to mind the kids. We always have some kind of an excuse. Start minding them. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. The apostolic church. I was going to get into that. We've gone through this whole session. I haven't touched it. Let me give it to you right quick. The apostolic church is, according to the documents of Vatican Council II, preaching with wisdom. An apostle preaches with wisdom. He also preaches knowledge. He heals the sick. He prophesies. He performs miracles. He has discerning of spirits, not for other people, but for the spirit that's operating in him. Stop discerning other people. Discern yourself. He has great faith. And he speaks and prays in tongues. In the spoken tongue, there must be an interpretation. That's the apostolic church. All of these charisms must be governed by love. If you have the love of God, you would never sell these gifts. They are not for sale. They have come as grace. They must be distributed as grace. That's the reason that this school is free. Now, we'll let you give an offering, but you see, we don't know what you'll give. There's a great number of you that won't be able to give anything. If we had a price on it, you couldn't come. But there's a few of you that could cover everything. And they're the ones that really get into a sweat when we get down to the end of this thing, man, because Jesus will clean you out. Y'all sitting on a pile? Boy, you'll sweat. By that last day, they go, "God." They're already getting sick. One came by, sitting on me a while ago. "This is hard." I said, "This old flesh is something else, ain't it, brother?" He knows what he's supposed to do, but he can't do it. Life in the spirit is a struggle with your flesh, and it's right between your ears, right up here. Amen. So the church is holy, it is Catholic, and it is apostolic. It is not charismatic. It is not a movement. The church has been established for some, ever since there's been a world. What, 7,000 years? How long do we have a world here? I don't know, but God established it, and His kingdom, we know, was established on this earth by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and reestablished the kingdom of God. Didn't He? Not something that's going to be as is. The church is established, folks. There's one church, there's one God, there's one Holy Spirit, there's one Jesus, and there's only one Diane. Just one. So why don't we look at the creed like this? I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Diane. Isn't that what it is? I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Jim. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Rose. Now what is it that joins us together? It's the unity of the Holy Spirit, the love of God that joins us together. We stop finding fault with one another. We begin to edify, to confirm, to edify, to strengthen, to encourage, to build one another. Next class.